8:01 here on the great WRKO. My friends, pity the father of our nation. George Washington is now the next major target of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the left, and it's being spearheaded by the media and the Democratic Party. So listen now to this. As I talked about last week, the New York Times is leading the charge, along with CNN, the communist news network, that George Washington was a slave owner. George Washington has no business having his face engraved on Mount Rushmore. It should be taken down. But now they're going even one step further. Now the left says, because Washington founded a quote-unquote fundamentally racist, white supremacist nation, that now George Washington himself, every statue must be taken down. Not just his face from Mount Rushmore. They want the father of our nation branded as a white supremacist, racist, genocidal bigot. I'm not kidding. Listen now to President Trump saying, over my dead body, am I ever going to allow anybody to take down Mount Rushmore? But make no mistake about it, this new Black Lives Matter cultural revolutionary movement is now going to go after all four men on Mount Rushmore. They want Washington down, Jefferson down, Lincoln down, and Theodore Roosevelt down, and they're not going to stop. Roll cut 13, Christian.
This movement is openly attacking the legacies of every person on Mount Rushmore. They defile the memory of Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. Today, we will set history and history's records straight. Before these figures were immortalized in stone, they were American giants in full flesh and blood, gallant men whose intrepid deeds unleashed the greatest leap of human advancement the world has ever known.
He's completely right. And by the way, extremely eloquent. And he's 1,000% correct. Now, what to me is incredible is the New York Times characterized Trump's speech up at Mount Rushmore as, quote, I kid you not, dark and divisive. So celebrating America, defending America, championing America is now, quote unquote, dark and divisive. Listen now to the New York Times' chief Trump hater, Maggie Haberman on CNN. Roll cut 3, Christian.
There are many people who are telling him that, honestly, Jim. I think what has become clear to people, or should have by now, is this president wants to govern a certain way and wants to run his reelection effort a certain way, and that does not relate to talking about the coronavirus, unless it's about describing his administration's response in glowing terms that just don't comport with reality, certainly for the first many weeks as the pandemic mm-hmm. was growing. The president wants to have culture wars. He wants to fight on white grievance, and he wants to have a discussion mm-hmm. around race that he thinks appeals to his base of supporters, and he has resisted yeah. all suggestions that he do it a different way.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm telling you, this is something straight out of Pravda or Izvestia, really. Goebbels must be laughing from hell. So let me get this straight. The New York Times, which created the 1619 Project, the New York Times, which is calling now for the desecration and destruction of Mount Rushmore, and now says Columbus must go, all the Confederate memorials must go, Washington must go, Jefferson must go, even Lincoln, the great emancipator, must go. The very institution that's calling for a culture war by the left on America. And Trump is the one waging the culture wars. I'm serious. That's akin to saying Poland wanted war with Nazi Germany. Like, what? you wage a war of aggression. You go after every symbol, memory, monument, statue, any aspect of our heritage and culture, and call for an historical Taliban-style purification and cleansing. And the president says, absolutely not. Am I going to do this to the greatest country in the world? And he's the one waging the culture wars. What that tells me is the speech was incredibly effective. And the left is petrified that on this ground, Trump will smash him and defeat him. But it gets even worse. I want you to listen now to a correspondent for CNN. This is how now CNN was describing Mount Rushmore and Trump's address before he delivered it. Look at how now the media is characterizing Mount Rushmore. Roll it, Brittany.
Well, let me just say that we should start off by having a national dialogue on it at some point. But right now we're in the middle.
That's Tammy Duckworth. I want the CNN cut. Layla, what's her name?
And Jake, kicking off the Independence Day weekend, President Trump will be at Mount Rushmore, where he'll be standing in front of a monument of two slave owners and on land wrestled away from Native Americans, told that be focusing on the effort to, quote, tear down our country's history.
She's talking to Jake Tapper. Okay, that's the CNN correspondent. He'll be standing in front of Mount Rushmore, which has two slave owners and is on land stolen from their wrestled. Actually, it's rested, but anyway. Wrestled from Native Americans, Jake. I'm like, are you, what? This is what you think of our nation? This is what you think of Washington and Jefferson? Now they've just been reduced to two slave owners? And Mount Rushmore, that whole talking point again about stolen Native American land? This is the propaganda now coming from CNN? Now, I want you to listen to Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, because she also was on the crap news network, okay? She also was on the communist news network. And the reason why her comments are so important and revealing is she's now on Biden's short list. She may very easily be his vice presidential nominee. And when asked, okay, look, you're against the Confederate statues, you're calling them traitors, but what about George Washington? The last thing you could call him is a traitor. Do you want his statue to come down? Listen to her answer. Roll cut four, Christian.
Well, let me just say that we should start off by having a national dialogue on it at some point. But right now we're in the middle of a global pandemic, and one of our countries that are opposed to us, Russia, has put a bounty on American troops' heads.
Okay. That's such a BS story. It's not even funny. It's another lie and another smear by the New York Times about that ridiculous Russia bounty story. We have to have a national dialogue? In other words, this is now open for discussion? Let me tell you what's going to happen. They have to now kneel to Black Lives Matter. They have to now take a knee. And that means bowing to this movement that wants to put George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and the American founding into the dustbin of history. Listen now to President Trump describe Washington's greatness, both his public life and his personal life. Roll cut 14, Christian.
From head to toe, George Washington represented the strength, grace, and dignity of the American people. From a small volunteer force of citizen farmers, he created the Continental Army out of nothing and rallied them to stand against the most powerful military on earth. Through 8 long years, through the brutal winter at Valley Forge, through setback after setback on the field of battle, he led those patriots to ultimate triumph.
No George Washington, no United States of America. If you hate George Washington and want to tear down his statue, what you are saying is you want to overturn America as a nation itself. There's a word for that. It's called traitor. 617-266-6868. Your reaction and calls next. '819 here on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. Okay, my friends, now the left says, led by the fake news media complex, the New York Times, CNN, George Washington, yes, the father of our country, now must go. It's not just Mount Rushmore. They want every statue of Washington taken down. Listen now to President Trump at Mount Rushmore saying, you take down George Washington, you are taking down the American founding itself. Listen to Trump brilliantly describe why Washington was considered the greatest man of his age and one of the greatest men to have ever lived. Roll cut 15, Christian.
When the army had dwindled to a few thousand men at Christmas of 1776, when defeat seemed absolutely certain, he took what remained of his forces on a daring nighttime crossing of the Delaware River. They marched through 9 miles of frigid darkness, many without boots on their feet, leaving a trail of blood in the snow. In the morning, they seized victory at Trenton. After forcing the surrender of the most powerful empire on the planet, at Yorktown, General Washington did not claim power, but simply returned to Mount Vernon as a private citizen. When called upon again, he presided over the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia and was unanimously elected our first president.
You know, I got to tell you, I don't have time to get into his defenses of Jefferson and Lincoln and Roosevelt because they were just as good as his defense of Washington. But I got to tell you, the way he defended those four men on Mount Rushmore, again, should be required reading for every student in elementary, middle, and high school. He is completely right. What Washington did by organizing this volunteer army in the United States, this volunteer force, and somehow, by a miracle, defeat the greatest empire at the time, one of the greatest ever, the British Empire, which no one thought possible, to then secure a constitutional republic, which, by the way, he left. After the war was over, he's like, I did my part for, you know, for country. I just want to be a farmer. I want to go back to Virginia. I don't want power. I never wanted power. His model was the great Roman general Cincinnatus, who after he won spectacular victories for the Romans, went back home literally to tend to his garden. And they called him again, saying, we cannot break through the deadlock at the Constitutional Convention. We need now to take control of this Constitutional Convention to give us a constitution. He delivered. He presided over the Constitutional Convention and gave us the greatest written political document ever. And then he became our first president. Listen now to President Trump saying what they did, these great founding fathers, was they enshrined a divine truth. And this divine truth took human civilization to a higher and better level. And we're going to tear them down? Are you insane? Roll cut 16, Christian.
Our founders launched not only a revolution in government, but a revolution in the pursuit of justice, equality, liberty, and prosperity. No nation has done more to advance the human condition than the United States of America. And no people have done more to promote human progress than the citizens of our great nation. It was all made possible by the courage of 56 patriots who gathered in Philadelphia 244 years ago and signed the Declaration of Independence. They enshrined a divine truth that changed the world forever when they said, "All men are created equal."
I got to tell you, rarely does a president deliver a speech for the ages. This was a speech for the ages. Kathy in Linfield, thanks for holding, Kathy, and welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling on the issue of that has to do with my reasons for. I homeschooled my kids, and one was I wanted them to learn the history of our country and to learn things from a Christian perspective. And so my kids weren't taught all the craziness that they're taught about, you know, our founding fathers. You know, we read original documents. We read, you know, the historical books about the different founding fathers. And I just wanted my kids to, you know the truth about our country. And that's basically what I wanted to say.
Well, Kathy, look, you've done a tremendous service to yourself, to your children, most likely to your grandchildren and to the country. And honestly, that's what we need. We have to have parents instilling pride in their kids again about the greatness of America and the greatness of our founding fathers. That's why they don't want to teach history in our classes. And if they do, they give them Marxist propaganda. Because if you know the real Washington and the real Jefferson and the real Lincoln and the real Roosevelt, as Trump brilliantly laid out in his speech, you come to only one conclusion. The United States is the greatest country in the history of the world. Shh, I got a story for you. Ay, ay, ay. Don't touch that dial. .832 here on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868. Couple lines are open if you want to jump on. Okay, my friends, the poll question of the day says it all in terms of the topic. Do you support the NFL's decision to play, I kid you not, quote unquote, a black national anthem during the first week of the season? Yes or no? You can vote on my Twitter page at the Cooner Report, K-U-H-N as in Nancy, E-R. You can vote online at WRKO.com. As always, the poll question is sponsored by Kelly Financial Services. So here is now the absolute latest. The NFL and the NBA are now vying over who can kowtow to Black Lives Matter the most. Who can take a knee to Black Lives Matter the most? So you have the NBA now saying that they want to paint Black Lives Matter alongside the courts when they reopen the season. The NFL, led by Roger Goodell, who can't prostrate himself enough now in front of Black Lives Matter, recently announced the following. They are going to create a $250 million fund to be spent over 10 years. They're going to be giving it to Black Lives Matter groups in order to, listen to this, their words, to educate fans and to teach them to become a prominent voice in the fight to end racism. So now they're going to openly do the propaganda bidding of Black Lives Matter, and they're implying that many of their fans are actually racist. OK, Okay, that's number one. Number two, they now say that they want to put either on helmets or on the back of the jerseys, where you usually have the last name, they want the names of victims of alleged police brutality put on either team uniforms or helmets. So it could be George Floyd, it could be Breonna Taylor, whoever they want. Anybody that they say has been a victim of so-called police brutality, they want those names etched on jerseys and helmets. But here is the kicker. That's not enough to show how woke they really are, how they really are down with the struggle with Black Lives Matter. Now, Roger Goodell has given the green light. I'm citing sources now from ESPN, Ian Rappaport at the NFL Network, who apparently has very good sources within Goodell's office. Apparently now, Ian Rappaport is reporting that the NFL is going to play a song. I never knew this was a Black national anthem, but apparently it is. A song titled, Lift Every Voice and Sing. This is the name of the song. It's also known allegedly as the Black national anthem. I didn't know there was a separate Black national anthem. And they're going to play this now prior to every season opening game this year. So apparently the Black national anthem is going to be played in every game during the opening week or opening day, whatever you want to call it, when the season opens. And that it's going to be played prior to the Star Spangled Banner. So they play the Black national anthem. The players are going to rise, put their hands on their heart. And then, I kid you not, the plan is then to kneel in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick and Black Lives Matter, to then kneel when they then play our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. Now, a couple of points, and then I want to throw it open to you. 617-266-6868 is the number. Number one, if you want a Black national anthem, and by the way, the overwhelming numbers of African Americans don't care, don't want a separate Black national anthem. This is part of the Marxist, what they call liberation, Black liberation project, okay? To create a separate Black identity and nation within the United States. This is pure Marxism. And it's rejected not just by the overwhelming number of Americans, but by the overwhelming number of African Americans. But let that go. You want a separate nation, a national anthem? Get yourself a separate nation. Call me old-fashioned, I don't care. But to me, every country has one national anthem. They don't have multiple national anthems. And if you're that determined to have your own national anthem be played, then pick your country. There are many countries around the world. Liberia, founded by former slaves. You can go to Liberia, see if they'll give you a national football league there. Good luck. It's one of the most poorest, disease-ridden, forsaken places on earth. But go to Liberia and play your Black national anthem there. But in the United States of America, to me, you want to talk about offensive? You want to talk about borderline sacrilegious? You want everybody to stand for a so-called Black national anthem? Then you kneel and protest the playing of the Star Spangled Banner? And this leads to my ultimate point. They are fostering racial separatism. They are fostering now the deliberate division and balkanization of the United States, the breakup, the disintegration of our country. And you're going to now be lecturing and indoctrinating fans on how racist they are, how racist the United States is? Whatever happened to just playing football, man? So you're going to be peddling a good in service that's not what you're supposed to be producing. You're in the football business, not in the radical political indoctrination business. And now you're going to ram through a national anthem down the throats of the fans that no one's ever heard of and no one cares about? You go woke, you go broke. Now, here is my strongest recommendation, and I cannot recommend this now in a more stronger fashion. It is beyond the time to boycott the NFL. The NFL is going to rue the day they've gone down this road. This, to me, is crossing the Rubicon. There's no going back now, ever, from what they've just done. This is an insult to every single person who fought and died for our country. This is an insult to every person who lives in this country. It is time to not only boycott the NFL, don't buy a ticket, don't watch a game, do not subsidize the lavish lifestyles of these spoiled, idiotic, multimillionaire players and these billionaire owners who are a bunch of frauds and hypocrites who condemn the United States while they milk this country for everything that it's worth. You know, to me, there's nothing more despicable, to be honest, my friends, than to see players making $10, $15, $20 million to play a freaking game to whine about how they're oppressed and the victims of racism. I mean, I'm sorry, it's disgusting. You ingrates, you. Don't ever buy an NFL. I'm telling you, look, I know some people are already burning their NFL jerseys and merchandise. Look, I bought some for Ashton. I bought some for Ava. That money is gone. That money's already been spent. So I'm not going to start burning merchandise or burning shirts that I bought for the kids. But from this moment on, I'm telling you, I'm not going to buy an NFL jersey, an NFL shirt, an NFL cap, any kind of NFL merchandise. In other words, it's time for a complete economic boycott of the NFL. Starve them of money. And if they go down this road, and they now are going down this road, let me tell you, they're not going to be spoiled multimillionaire athletes for long. Because when you start seeing empty stadium after empty stadium, and nobody watching them on TV, and the ratings dropping like a stone, and nobody wanting to buy their ridiculously expensive merchandise and jerseys, I'm telling you, the NFL is going to realize they're not bigger than America. They're not bigger than the flag. They're not bigger than the national anthem. One God, one country, one flag, one anthem. Not two anthems, not three anthems, not four anthems. My friends, I want to ask you, do you support the NFL's decision to now play the quote-unquote black national anthem prior to the playing of the Star Spangled Banner? And the question I have for the NFL, are players allowed to kneel to protest the playing of the black national anthem? Or are those people going to be denounced as a bunch of racists? Your reaction next. .48 here on the great WRKO. Okay, I'm not kidding. That is the song that the NFL plans to play prior to the Star Spangled Banner. It's Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's known, I never heard of this before, but apparently it's known as the Black National Anthem. And they're going to play this, the NFL says, prior to every season opening game this year, including, yes, for the New England Patriots. And then I guess they kneel, and then you play the Star Spangled Banner. So my question to you is this. Do you support the NFL's decision to now have a black national anthem played prior to the Star Spangled Banner? And God forbid, What happens to any players who take a knee to protest the playing of the Black National Anthem? Will that even be allowed? Or is that now considered verboten in the United Socialist States of America? 617-266-6868. Lines are loaded. Luke in Harvard. Thanks for holding, Luke, and welcome.
Jeff. Happy late 4th of July, my friend. Happy late 4th of July.
Luke, would you stand for the Black National Anthem if you're on the field?
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't know what to do. This is a total mess, Jeff. Total mess. That's all it is. Anyway, so my question to you is that I'm waiting for them to boycott Hanes because, you know, Hanes is probably going to be a big sponsor of this. And you know who their big mascot for Hanes is? It's Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan is a Black man. So I'm waiting for them to say that it implies that this is a cotton picker. I mean.
Well, you know, Luke, what it also implies is that Blacks are incapable of being racist. What it's really saying is only whites are racist. That's what the NFL, that's the Black Lives Matter message, which is racism in and of itself. It's a purely racist movement. It's predicated, and Jews. I don't know if you've seen the video of Black Lives Matter protesters shouting the anti-Semitic blood libel. But, I mean, it is riddled, it is rampant, rife with anti-Semitism. Okay, but let that go. It's an anti-white, anti-Semitic, anti-American movement. And the NFL is getting in bed with them all the way. Luke, I don't know about you, but is this the end of the NFL?
I think that, to be honest with you, you can't go to the NFL anyways, Jeff. Can you afford a ticket to go to a game?
No.
Well, the last time I went to a game was like 15 years ago, and the only reason I went was because a friend of mine happened to be a hand surgeon at UMass, and MRI Shields donated the tickets to him and myself, and we got to go. That was the only reason he invited me to go, and that's the last time I've been to a game. I can't afford a ticket.
Well, Luke, would you watch it on TV?
Would I watch it? The only thing that I really ever watched, anyways, Jeff, to be perfectly honest with you, because I'm not really into sports, but was the Super Bowl. I'm usually too busy for all these things. But let's just face it: our country is obsessed with entertainment. Everything is about entertainment. To be honest with you, I would be happy if Hollywood, the NFL, and all of them would just, if we could just turn that stupid tube off and people would just talk to their neighbors and just communicate with people, like the old-fashioned way, not with some swiping thing on your phone either, not with some Twitch or whatever the hell they call these freaking things now, but,
amen.
You know, just
Luke,
go
I'm
and
with
talk
you.
To your neighbor, have a party.
I'm with you. I am so with you. Thank you very much for that call, Luke. I really appreciate it. Look, the NFL, the NBA, Hollywood. I think NASCAR is going to take a real hit over them now getting so PC and so woke. I look at professional sports and I'm like, whatever happened to sports? This is, you want to talk about indoctrination? This is indoctrination. You know, I don't watch sports to have politics rammed down my throat. I watch sports to forget about politics. So if you're going to start doing this, bye, I'm done, and I'm never going to turn around. I'm never going to look back. Agree, disagree. Eldon in Topsfield. Thanks for holding, Eldon, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. Happy to hear you this morning. First of all, I sent Robert Kraft a letter a couple of years ago. He was kind enough to send me back a letter, and I have not watched football, and I will not watch football, and I'm not going to aggravate myself listening to and watching what they're going to do to us again this year. Now, I was down in St. Thomas, and they play the Black National Anthem, so all the time when they do the inauguration, I spend some time there down in the winter. So here's what I'd like to talk about today. I was out riding around in Ipswich yesterday. My wife and I, every Sunday, you know, get in the car and go for a little ride. And I saw a ton of Black Lives Matter signs up in Ipswich. And that's okay. I don't have a problem. People get to express their idea. Then I got to thinking, how can I put my thoughts on my front lawn, and I grabbed my old American flag, which I had tucked away somewhere, and I pinned it on the side of the house. Then I talked to a friend, and they said, hey, you have a motorcycle. Why don't you put one on the back of your motorcycle? He did. And then a friend with a pickup truck, I said, why don't you put the American flag? So what I feel so good about now is I have my protest sign on my house. And they're probably not going to burn it down when they go by. They probably won't notice that I'm a real patriot because they probably don't know what the American flag really means anyway. So what I'm recommending when I talk to everyone, I say, go buy a flag, pin it on the house, put it in the yard. And then we're going to be the silent majority. We aren't being offensive to anyone else. I'm not telling you you can't believe the way you do believe. And so that's what I'm highly, highly recommending. Grab a flag and put it up. And when I go by your house, I'll toot. When I see it in the back of your pickup truck, I'll toot and say hi. Because I think we are the silent majority. But I'm scared to death to put a Trump sticker on my car because I know it'll be scratched and the headlights will be kicked in. But I think if I have a flag on it, I think I can get away with that. So that's my idea for the day.
I love it. Eldon, I love it. I love it. Thank you very much for that call. I really do. I think it's time for us now to start unfurling the flag. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do, all seriousness. Not only am I going to I have the flag in my office. I have the flag everywhere around the house. But I want to have a public flag outside. But I also want the Betsy Ross flag. I want the flag of the original 13 colonies. And I know Krapernick says it's racist. And I know the New York Times says it's racist. I don't care. I want the 13 colonies. Because when the left calls you a racist, you know what that means? You've won the argument. And so to me, the flag now, I want you to think about what this country has now come to. The flag is now the ultimate protest symbol. Or to be more specific, counter-protest symbol. You want to know what it's all about. That's what it's about. It's not about police brutality. It's not even about racism. It's about destroying this country as we've known it for the last 244 years. 617-266-6868. Michael in the car. Thanks for holding, Michael, and welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. Listen, Jeff, about 4 years ago, there was an incident at Fenway Park with Adam Jones, and John Henry basically called us a bunch of racist Boston fan base. So back then, I decided I'm no longer going to buy Red Sox merchandise, nor will I go to a game. Last year, during the Super Bowl, they broadcast. First of all, I was angry at all the kneeling before the football games last year. Last year, during the Super Bowl, they broadcast half the show in Spanish. I shut the Super Bowl off. I said, that's it. An American sport, and they're doing the halftime show in Spanish. So I am completely done with the NFL. I actually really look forward to the season because I do like to bet on the football games. I am totally, totally done with the NFL. I'm totally done with the NBA. As you notice, you won't see that crap in the NHL. You never see that crap in the NHL.
Michael, honestly, that may be the only sport I'm going to watch the way things are going right now. I mean, it may be the only one left. We'll see.
NHL. I know you're from Canada. I know you're probably a big hockey fan. I am just so disgusted that everywhere where I turn, this is being rammed down my throat. We are the silent majority. We're going to win this battle, Jeff. I thank you for everything you do.
Thank you,
I
Michael.
I just have another little small point I'd like to make.
Yes, Michael.
I was an employee for the city of Somerville. I was born and raised there. I've known Mr. Curtatone for more than 40 years. I was fired because I had a Trump sticker on my car.
He's a left-wing thug. That's what he is.
Jeff, when you ever want to know the real story about Joe Curtatone, I know him intimately. I mean, through grade school, high school football. You should read Billy Toro's book, Stealing Somerville, Jeff. And y'all know the real Joe Curtatone.
Michael, thank you very much for that call. A.O. Chicken Cacciatore. A.O. A.O. Joe Curtatone. A.O. This is from my sister. A lot of text. Text machine is burning up. You can text us WRKO, whatever your message is, to 70470-7470. This is from my sister, Jen. Jeff, she's really teed off. Where does this end? I want Women's Lives Matters, and I want an anthem too. If we start playing every anthem of every grievance groups, there will be no time for the games. I got a great idea. Let's set aside a piece of land or a little remote island, and these people who don't feel part of America can go there and play any anthem, police themselves, teach anything their minds desire. Well, you get the point. Leave us Americans alone. We love our country and its people, all its people. Amen.